Welcome to the Coin Podcast Network. Emotional, creative, and often comical. Welcome to another in-depth but out of the ordinary look at what it's like to write. This is Writer's Block with Coin6 News anchor Jenny Hansen.
Okay, so joining me on this week's Writer's Block is author Lindy Miller. Her latest novel, Aloha with Love, is out, and it's even been filmed as something that we're going to see on some sort of screen at some point. Lindy, thanks so much for being here.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, so when I heard from your publisher, I was like, oh my gosh, I love reading these types of books because they're romance novels, but they're also, you know, contemporary. It's like what I watch on, you know, Hallmark or Lifetime. It's right up that alley.
It absolutely is. And I think we all can use just a little bit of, you know, warm, fuzzy, bright feelings in our lives these days.
Yeah, just a little bit. I work in news as my normal day job, and it's been pretty heavy lately. So I think a lot of people need this escape. I want to ask you, I know you're in Alaska right now, but what is your background? I mean, did you grow up in Alaska? Did you grow up in Hawaii where the novel is set?
Nope, neither. Okay. I've been in Alaska for about 2 years, which is when my family decided to move just to go on an adventure and experience, you know, the last frontier. But I grew up in the South. I'm originally from the South, and I left home to go to college, and I've never been back to the South. But I spent most of my time, you know, as an adult living either in the Pacific Northwest or up in the East Coast. And most of the places I write about in my books are places I'm either very, very familiar with or have lived at some point in my life, with the exception of Hawaii, where I've not actually been. So writing this book was definitely like a vacation for me. I got to do a huge amount of research and look at a lot of pictures. And it was really well timed in the dreary gray days of Alaskan winter when I was working on this manuscript.
Oh, I love that. It was an escape for you writing the book. Yeah. And the Pacific Northwest, obviously beautiful too. So did you always want to be a writer, or what was your path, I guess, to all this?
Yeah, I started writing, I think, a little bit by accident. I mean, I think people who are writers, right, we all have stories that are just welling within you from, you know, for kind of your whole life. And I've always been a huge reader. So I've read a lot. I would scrabble my own stories or poems coming up. But I'm actually an academic. I'm a professor, you know, by trade. So I was writing professionally as part of my academic life. I mean, journal articles, research papers, dissertations. I wrote 2 textbooks. And at some point in all that published, I thought to myself, man, it would be really fun to write something that I would like to write, just enjoy. And I worked on my first novel, and then, you know, things just kind of moved on their own from there. And suddenly I look back and I'm only teaching part-time now and writing full-time. So things take a funny evolution sometimes.
Yeah. And that's, you know, a path that I think so many writers are aspiring to, you know, to be able to write more than your other day job. Was your first novel published? How hard was it for you to get a publisher and an agent and all the things that writers, you know, have? Sometimes they hit walls when they put their stuff out there into the world.
Oh my gosh, yes, right. And there's no one path. There's so many different options today in publishing. You know, since I had done several academic nonfiction texts, I had, you know, friends and colleagues and network kind of in the larger publishing space that helped me to understand the process of, you know, getting an agent. Moving through kind of the more like traditional publishing world. My agent, Italia Gandolfo, is actually someone I've had the pleasure of knowing as a friend for, you know, a long time. So when I started really getting serious about my writing, she was kind of the first person I went to that said, do I have any hopes of a future as a fiction writer, you know, coming from academia where we like to write sentences that have, you know, 150 words each minimum, and that sort of thing. So, you know, my journey was really, it helped that I had a lot of connections in publishing from my, you know, nonfiction work, and then just had friends that I'd made along the way from, you know, just roundabouts and dabbling a little bit in some of, you know, writing stories and doing a little bit of independent publishing, you know, networking. So that was my journey. But of course, there's, you know, there's lots of different ways to get, you know, from A to B when you set out to write.
Where do the storylines come from in you? I mean, are these, again, just something that's been floating around in your head? like, well, this would make a great novel. I mean, where does it all come from?
Kind of hilariously, I write a lot of rom-com, like the sweet seasonal romances, and I write a lot of horror. So it's like this weird dichotomy within myself, like the light side and dark side of me. I think regardless of what kind of genre I'm working in, usually it is an idea sparks. Something sparks somewhere and then I get a little obsessive about it and I keep thinking about it. And eventually it either fizzles out and I realize there's not anything there, or it starts making its way onto paper. So I have occasionally been asked to write, hey, you know, can you write a story about this or a story set here or this type of character? And sometimes there's a little bit more of a method that goes into kind of developing those plots. But yeah, 9 times out of 10, it's, you know, an idea or something I see somewhere I go, you know, gets under my skin and then, you know, takes root and the story just kind of grows on its own.
Mm-hmm. Goes from there. Yeah. Okay. So talk about Aloha with Love. I can't believe you say you've never been to Hawaii, but you wrote this whole novel based in Hawaii.
Well, I think one of the benefits of coming from academia is I'm a really good researcher. So I do a lot of research. And when I write in the kind of darker side of things, those books require actually a tremendous amount of research. So with Hawaii, yeah, it's one of, I think, like 3 states I haven't been to in the U.S. I mean, I travel a lot, typically a huge traveler. And Hawaii's been on my list for a couple of years and I can't seem to get there. So writing stories set in Hawaii was challenging because I didn't really have a good sense of, I never stepped foot on the islands to learn about it. But yeah, friends have, my neighbor lives or now lives in Hawaii, my old neighbor. You know, we had people that were going to be involved with the film that are Native Hawaiian that were super helpful. A lot of web searching, Google imaging, talking to family and friends. You know, I had friends growing up who moved to, you know, Oahu for military, you know, military yeah, friends. So you start to pull together your resources and really get a sense. And now I feel like I've been there. I mean, I feel like I've been. So I am looking forward to actually going. But yeah, I haven't been, but I definitely feel like after all the research and time I've put into learning about it, that I have a little bit of familiarity.
You're familiar with it. And so talk about the plot of it. I am, again, this totally sounds like something I would read or that I would watch. I think it just, because it sounds like it's going to have a happy ending in the end.
Well, as all romances should, right?
Yes.
Must be totally a happy ending. Aloha with Love is about Jenna Burke, who is a, you know, struggling, young, ambitious architect out in the big city, having left her, you know, kind of Hawaiian hometown behind. When we first meet Jenna, she's had a wicked week. She lost this project she'd been working on at work, this proposal that she didn't go through. Her longtime boyfriend and her, she broke up with him. I like strong leading ladies. And, but, you know, lost her relationship. And then she receives word that her Aunt May, who is, you know, her surrogate mom, has passed away. Mm-hmm. So she's had a, you know, a really terrible week. She goes home to Hawaii for the first time in quite some time for the reading of the will and to honor her aunt's memory, where she learns that she and her older sister, Sarah, have inherited Aunt May's, you know, kind of rundown large home there on the island, and they can do whatever they want with it.
Of course.
You know, they can sell it, they can keep it, they can do what they please after they renovate it. You know, and Jenna is an architect, not a contractor. And Sarah is, you know, she's been a busy being a full-time mom and with ambitions of opening her own bakery. So she's not, neither of them were terribly well equipped to do this, but it's, you know, Aunt May's last wish and they're going to make it happen. So Jenna really, the other kind of salient plot point here is Aunt May didn't leave them wanting. You know, she left a budget and she also found the perfect contractor to help.
Of course.
Right. I mean, Aunt May is just, you got to love her.
And is this contractor attractive too?
I mean, I would say so.
Yeah.
You know, the very handsome Trevor Donovan is playing him on screen. So I think we're safe to say that Ben's a good looking guy. But, you know, she's got Ben, who's done some handiwork and that kind of thing for her Aunt May over the years, enlisted to help. And so, you know, Jenna's got to stay behind and kind of put her, quote unquote, put her life on hold to work on taking care of her Aunt May's house and her final wishes. And, you know, the story really is about second chances for Jenna and her dreams, second chances for that house, second chances even for Ben. It's definitely got your feel good romance vibe, but there are deeper, you know, deeper lessons to learn.
Lessons in there
within
too.
The story.
When you were writing this, did you think, okay, I definitely want this to be on screen somewhere? Because it does seem like there's a, I don't want to say a formula, but like a lot of these movies that, again, I enjoy, it's like a girl that goes back to her small, you know, hometown after something bad has happened in the big city. And then they find love, or they find themselves again, or they realize that they're meant to be there. Is there something to that? Or is it just coincidental?
No, there's definitely, definitely. I don't want to use the word formula, but we'll say recipe.
I mean, a recipe. Kind of a recipe. I like that word better. Yes, a recipe.
I like food, so I like that word better. But you know, there definitely is kind of a recipe for writing, you know, these types of book to film, you know, type romances that you want to hit on these certain points, and you want to connect with your audiences in certain ways. And that's kind of baked into the recipe. My co-author on Aloha with Love, Terrence Brody, is by day a firefighter at FDNY in New York. But when he's not out saving us all from burning buildings, he has you know, written several screenplays that have been adapted into Hallmark films. So he definitely knew those beats too. So we were able to put our heads together and build a story and build it in a certain way that way, you know, really hit those movements you know, accurately.
Did he co-write both the novel and the screenplay with you, or how did that all play out?
Terrence wrote the screenplay.
He wrote the screenplay. Okay.
Terrence wrote the screenplay and I wrote the book, but you know, we worked together on, you know, on those things. So it was, you know, definitely a lot of collaboration, and that's the best way to do it sometimes.
Yeah. Such an interesting background that he has. How did you guys end up coming together?
Oh, through the incredible matchmaking skills of our agent, Italia. She is an absolute wizard at introducing people who will work well together, or who might have complementary skills, like a writer and a screenwriter, or, you know, that sort of thing. So that's how we came together. We did a second book for an upcoming novel I have releasing in December called Sleigh Bells on Bread Loaf Mountain. That was another book I wrote. And then, you know, Terrence came behind me, wrote the screenplay. So fingers crossed, maybe we'll see that one out there one day.
And you can't really give too many details about Aloha with Love as far as where it will and where we'll end up seeing it. It has already been filmed, though, that we know at least that.
Yeah, I can't. I got to keep that under lock and key for now. But the movie has been shot, starring Tiffany Smith and Trevor Donovan as Jenna and Ben. Although in the movie, she's Gemma, because believe it or not, there was an actual Jenna Burke living in Maui where we filmed. And so we had to make a couple of, you know, little smudges to make sure we were all, you know, in proper compliance. Yes. But the movie is finished. It's wrapped. It's finishing in post-production. So it should be, you know, on the screen really shortly.
Oh, that's exciting. And again, you're the new one you were just talking about that is also possibly being looked at to be something that we'll see as well.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. Yeah. Yeah. And then I know most writers are already like busy on the next thing. Are you already working on another novel?
I am always working on at least one other novel. Like I mentioned, I write both kind of in the horror space and in the romance space. So right now I'm maybe three projects deep on both sides.
Oh my gosh.
And it's just what I finish first. I finish first. My debut novel came out last year, The Magic Ingredient. It's a fall romance set at Halloween. I am finally allowed to share that one has been optioned for filmed by Oren Kamara and the producers of Aloha with Love. So
man, you do know the recipe.
Hey, that one, you know, it's the magic ingredient, right?
I guess.
Jeez. That one's probably my favorite project. So it had been the book, it's a series. And the next book in that is what I'm currently working on most. But, you know, sometimes we take a little seat back and see if anything changes in the filming process that might inform how we want the story to unroll. So most of my time is spent right now back in Bar Harbor working on the Magic Ingredient series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm assuming the pandemic probably made it so like you couldn't travel to the filming of the one in Hawaii. It's just kind of made everything a little harder.
Yeah, it definitely has made things a little bit harder. And I live in Alaska most of the year. So frankly, traveling anywhere is a huge, is kind of a huge undertaking.
Yeah.
I'm on vacation next week with my son and we're going down to Disney World. And it's like a 24-hour travel time from here to Orlando.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I'm surprised you're going there and not to the California Disneyland. Isn't that probably a little closer, right?
Definitely significantly closer, but you know, if you're going to put the time and expense and suffering into, you just go for it.
Yes.
go for it all the way.
do Epcot Center, do all of it. Yeah. Okay. And so again, Aloha with Love, people can find that. I mean, the book, the novel, anywhere really you get your books, right? I mean, Amazon, Powell's here in Portland. Yeah. Well, I'm excited to check these out. And I again, love watching these types of things on the small screen. So I'm excited. Yeah. Best of luck to you. It sounds like you're off to a great start with this.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And yeah, absolutely. I hope you check the books out and I hope you stay tuned for the, you know, for the film, whenever it airs, and
let me know what you think of her. I talked to her.
Yeah, sometime. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Lindy Miller.
Thank you.
Coin Podcast Network is your home for on-demand coverage of local news, sports, weather, and entertainment you won't find anywhere else. You can always find us on coin.com/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download your favorite podcast.
So the wildfire is already tough to deal with, but when you factor in a strong wind and then the ongoing dry conditions, it really makes it extra tough.
First, there was fire.
Helicopters are dropping water on the White River. Fire.
Then ice.
Trees and limbs just toppled to the ground.
Then heat.
This record-breaking temperature and heat broke our roads across Portland.
There is no doubt.
There is no doubt.
The climate in the Pacific Northwest is changing.
I think Mother Nature is very mad at humans.
But how are our recent extreme weather events connected to climate change?
What climate change is contributing to is basically an increased frequency, duration, and severity of these extreme events.
And what do we stand to lose if we don't do something about it now?
You know, these small decisions that we all make in our day-to-day lives, they do really have consequences. They have impacts. They add up.
People are just not prepared for this.
It is a climate in crisis, now streaming on the Coin Podcast Network.